All right, can we just rise to our feet quickly? Let's do something. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, don't forget, life is a battle of what?
Words.
I didn't hear you well.
Words.
And what temptations are in life are usually, all right, targeted at making us say the things that we are not supposed to say. You remember when Job was going to be tempted, the focus was on what? Let us hear what he will say. And when we were talking about the success of Job in those trials, it was that in all of these, Job did not sin with his mouth. And very important for us to bear that in mind. Life is a battle of what?
Words.
You know, recently you heard of, before we drove it away, Ebola virus, all right? Trying the gates of Nigeria, you understand my point? That there are many ways to respond. You know, like, hey, we are dead, though. Hey, we need to eventually get here. Hey, you know, how many of us are in the family? If Ebola killed half, how many will remain? You understand? The way I would say, okpe, thank you, say more. Because the more you say in my favor, the more I'm empowered. Do you understand? But if everybody is saying that, for where no evil will befall me, no plague will come near my dwelling, you declare things like that, the Ebola starts drawing back. Like, these are dangerous people. These are the kind of people that when you try to infect, they will infect you. You will now die. You understand my point? And it will just start moving back. You understand? Life is a battle of what?
Words.
Life is a battle of words. The Lord Jesus was saying something. He said, when you see all these things happen, they will happen. He said, you straighten up, look up, for your redemption draws near. Never look at things happening outside as a sign of calamity coming to you. Even if you find calamity coming outside, know one thing for certain, your own redemption is drawing close. Your own time of change, your own time of transformation is drawing closer. Life is a battle of words. Satan was never, ever, ever win the battle in that area. If you win that battle in that area, you've won it entirely. If you, under the trials of life, Satan cannot convince you to say anything against yourself. He can't convince you to say anything against your God. He can't convince you to say anything against your destiny. He will always lose. He will always lose. Take it from me. Satan, in fact, even if God wants a man to die, a Christian, he has to convince him to agree to die. It sounds funny, all right? Even if life, everything, Satan wants somebody to die now. You know, Satan, he has to convince the person to agree. And sometimes that's what pain is like. Pain will torment the fellow until he says, I am tired. Let me go. You understand what I'm trying to say? Jesus had to say it, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Then he gave up the ghost. Even though he had suffered so much, you understand? As long as his wits were about him, as long as he wanted to live, he was not going to die. That's a matter of fact. Remember, life is a battle of what?
Words.
Life is a battle of what?
Words.
One more time, life is a battle of what?
Words.
And you must win it.
Amen.
Do you understand my point? And you see, you're not just saying things, you know. I was saying something on Saturday that I was listening to Ken Hagin a message, and he said that faith is a concomitant of knowledge. I heard him say it again. As knowledge comes into the heart, faith just unconsciously enters into the heart. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. So when we say you must win it there, it's when you fill your heart with truth. It's when you fill your heart with the word of God, that is how you win it. It's not that you leave the plan and say, I must win it. I must win it. Yes, it's good. That's a starting point. The real winning is when you fill your heart with something, you understand, that is real, which is the word of God. Many people are losing battles in life because they are fighting with weapons that are not potent. Desire is not a primary weapon. Do you hear what I say?
Yes,
what did I say?
Desire is not a primary weapon.
No, it's not. It's not just I want it. So you hear people praying all the time. I hear it. This year is my year of breakthrough. They heard it in church. It's there all over the airwaves. Okay? That's not it's a good thing to say. I'm not saying it's bad. But that's not the potent thing to say. By the time you are saying it, you must understand, it must be based upon knowledge. There must be a reason that you discovered from the word of God that this is my year of breakthrough. You get my point?
Yes.
That's how, listen, this is how it is. The sword of the Spirit is what? The word of God. It's not just anyhow words. It has to be the word of God. Otherwise, it does not work in the realm of the Spirit in your favor. It can work against you. You know, I like that America, is it Miranda Rights, they call it. It's based on spiritual things. He said you have the right to remain silent. Now, in spiritual things, you may have the right to remain silent, but you had better not remain silent. But is anything you say can be used how?
Against you.
One point of that is that if it's not the word of God, it's not potent. It can only work against you. You know what I'm saying? If you say negative things, good. Contradicting the word of God is not, of course, working against you. But if you say positive things, but they are not in line with the word of God, it's still not working in your favor. That's what I'm trying to emphasize when I said that. For it to work in your favor, it must be what? The word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through whom? Through God. It's when it works through God that it works in putting down strongholds. Don't ever forget that. That's what life is about. We are fighting every day. You read of impeachment. There's this impeachment fever that's all over the place. You hear all kinds of things. Male suicide bombers. Female suicide bombers. Airplane. Okay, none has been shot down in recent times. After the one vanished. All of these things are meant to scare you. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You know, the news media, you know, there are more good things happening than those bad things. But good news doesn't sell apart from people like you. And people like you are not the normal people. So they have to tell you the bad things. Yeah, that one young boy fell off the bridge and entered into the lagoon and died. 1 million young boys passed that bridge, did not fall, and did not die. Then your son that's been passing the bridge for a long time say, hey, Junior, when you are passing, please don't fall down and die. You understand my point? Hey, listen. I'm not going to say that the life seems that it's the... Anyway, that's what it's called, the world. It's engineered to win your... What am I trying to use now? Win your words. Your words will work on their side. But you must never allow that to happen. You must never allow that to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. All right, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. So that's why we are standing up. That's why I said, let's start with it. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
I am above alone,
I am above
and
alone,
I am not beneath.
I am not beneath.
Say it, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
1,000 may fall by my side,
and
10,000
at my right hand,
none will come near me,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Say it again, I am protected.
I am defended.
The angels of the Lord,
they
encamp around me
and deliver me.
See, as the mountains surround Jerusalem,
so does the Lord surround his people.
Therefore, I declare,
I am surrounded
and I am delivered.
From all evil, I am delivered.
From all plagues, I am delivered.
From Ebola virus, I am delivered.
Declare like you believe it, no evil shall befall me.
No evil shall befall me.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it, I am above alone.
I am above alone.
Because I have been bought by his blood.
I have been washed by that blood.
And I am seated in heavenly places.
And I am seated in heavenly places.
With Christ Jesus.
With Christ Jesus.
Far above principalities and powers. And every name that is named.
Therefore, Satan is under me.
All his works are under me.
Say, the prince of this world,
he is under me.
Because I am in Christ Jesus.
Declare like you believe. You say, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
My life is not my own.
My life is the life of Christ.
Say, Christ is in me.
Say, even though the body was subject to death because of sin.
Yet that spirit of Christ
that is in me
is giving life to my mortal body.
Say, in me,
life is walking.
Don't ever forget it.
Don't ever forget it.
Don't ever forget it.
Say it again. Say, in me,
life is walking.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Say, life is walking.
Say, like you believe it, life is walking.
Listen. You know, it took a process from the time that God gave a promise to Abraham, all right, for Sarah to receive the capacity to conceive. All that period, you know what was happening? Life was walking. Are you getting my point? Life was what? Was walking. Life was walking. oftentimes it's a process, and that's the mistake people make. I was listening to one man minister on the healing power. You know, he was teaching a Bible class on I don't have his name off here, not somebody I know much, but I was listening to him. I said that anytime the healing, the power of God is ministered to people, all right, the power of God actually enters the place. But many times people don't take advantage of it. They don't activate it. They don't let it work. And that's one of the things I've come to understand. No, it's not every time that God works miracles. There are miracles. All right? But if you read that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it said there are diversities of manifestations. All of them the same God. There is a working of miracles. And it said there are gifts of healings. And I learned this when I was in university those days. There is a difference between a miracle and a healing. Healing oftentimes is a process. A miracle can just, because you can have miracles outside, there's no healing of the weather. You get my point? You just stop the wind, you know, stuff like that. But that when it comes to human body, there can be miracles and there can be healings. A miracle is usually instantaneous, but oftentimes the healing is gradual. The healing is gradual. That's why there are gifts of healings. That is, there are different manifestations. Sometimes it is gradual. And one of the things I've come to understand about Christianity is that the power of God is real, all right? And like that man was saying, that message I was listening to yesterday, he said that once the healing power of God is ministered, it is there and it is working. Now, let me say something to you. Faith must work with patience. What is patience? Patience is faith extended over a period of time. Patience is when you refuse to give up on your faith. Patience is when you just say, no, I have believed the word of God, and I will stick with that word until the manifestation comes. Oftentimes, people draw back, and when the soul draws back, God has no pleasure in that person anymore. And the Bible says this is how you inherit the promises. It is through what? Faith and patience. Say, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why is patience necessary? Patience is necessary because the working of faith might be gradual. Abraham gets a promise today, and for the next 10 years, Isaac doesn't show up. For the next 15 years, Isaac does not show up. For the next 20 years, Isaac doesn't show up. It takes 25 years for Isaac to show up. If Abraham turned back on the, at the 20th year, you would never have seen Isaac. And you would have said that the word of God did not work. The fact is that the word of God was working, but it was a process. The word of God was working, and it was a process. And that's why I said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And that's what I want Christians to understand. In your life, life is working. In your finances, life is working. What is life? It is the grace, the power, all right? The working, the mighty power of God that certain things are right in your system. That is what life is. That's a matter of fact. Life is working, you know? You must understand what death is. Death is a process. In fact, there's one of the things I learned when I was a student, this is the first, second year. Somebody quoted it for us. That somebody said that the moment you are born, you start dying. You understand my point? This is how doctors look at it. Physiology, you know, pathology, everything. That is, the moment the child is born, he or she starts dying. That the process, you know, starts. If one of the things we teach students, some of those things you teach, if you don't know which one is a lie, which one is the truth. You just say everything. That's how it is in the book. Thank God I'm a Christian. No? If you are not a Christian, my God, you are confused. Honestly, especially when you learn a lot of science, and you know, like we do at work. All right? They'll tell you that if you find cancer in somebody today, the theory is that it's been growing for the last, let's just say on the average, all right? It's been growing for the last 10 years. You're just seeing it for the first time today. There are so much, of course, there are so many more things to say about it, all right? That's been there for a very long time. I know sometimes, if I say this one, it's about a lot of people. They say, okay, go and catch cancer very early. If you catch it very, very early. So that's the theory behind screening for cancer. But they now found out that a lot of the cancers you catch early is a problem you are causing. Because if you catch it early, you have to treat it. And the argument now is that the treatment overall, you know, because for you to catch it early, you have to screen maybe 100,000 people, as an example. For you to catch, no, it's not easy. It's not easy work. It's not easy work. You understand my point? Let's say, okay, there's a particular cancer in one particular organ, all right, and you find it maybe 50 times in a population, in a year, in a population of maybe 2 million people. For you to find it very early, you have to screen the 2 million people. So go through 2 million people to find 50 cancers that's going to come out in 10 years' time. It's not easy work. I can remember, okay, let's even say 10 years' time. So you are going to find like 500, all right? Now, but they are finding out something. That instead of finding 500, you like to find like 2,000, of which 1,500 was not planning to cause a problem. You have to treat all the 2,000 you find. So you don't even know which one you should have treated, which one you should not have treated. Okay, let us assume the 2,000 that you found that never came down, never became a serious problem. What happened? I'm going somewhere, all right? Now, It is thought that a lot of those people, the people who win the battle. I don't know what I get to say. Like the thing was trying to rev his head, and the man was fighting back. It was trying to rev his head, and the man was fighting back. After a while, he won the battle. Therefore, you never saw the cancer. But if he had caught it very, very early, you would not have been able to predict that he was going to win the battle. So you give him the same treatment and thereby cause him more problems because he was trying to win the battle. Thorough confusion. Anytime I'm teaching my students, you know what I listen to them? I say, oh boys, oh girls, that's why I go to church. I said, that's why I go to church. That's why I'm saying this. So you see, life is a battle, and I keep on saying. And you see, you have to keep winning your battles. So this is what happens. I'm talking about where I started from. So they say, okay, the cancer started like 10 years ago. So death, that's what I'm going to. Death walks gradually. Death walks gradually. Death walks gradually until it wins and it finally kills the person. Maybe like 20 years after it began. From the time the thing shows up, with the treatment, with the everything, finally he dies 10 years after he shows up for the first time, but he's been grown up for 10 years before that. But this is what I want Christians to understand. That is the law of death. What did I call it? That is the law and the power of death. This is what Christians must understand. In your life, you know what is happening? Life is working. So there are two things. One, all the things that are hiding that are planning to show up later, you will win the battle.
Amen.
That's not even correct. You have won the battle.
Amen.
Because life is what? It's working. Say, life is working in me.
Life is working
in me.
Life is working.
Say, like you believe it, life is working in me.
Life is working.
From the top of my head,
to
the soles of my feet.
Life is working in me.
Say it again, from the top of my head,
to the soles of my feet.
Life is working in me. Say
it, it's killing every cancer cell.
That's it. It's working.
Listen,
sometimes the thing has even shown up. It's already manifested, the problem. But I'm saying to you again, life is also working. It is what? Life is what? Therefore, declare, say, life is working in me.
Life is working.
It's healing every disease.
That's
one thing I confess all the time. You know, something happened this morning in my house. I was doing exercise with my children. And everybody bent down, touch your toes. And I was quite impressed with myself that I could touch toes more than children that were like 3, you know, 5, 6. I said, life is working in my back. And I've been saying something for a very long time. There are people I hear, they say, okay, you know, because I'm older now, my back, I said, lie. Old age is not a disease. I'm not going to say this when I'm 70 years old. I start saying it now. Old age is not a disease. Age is allowed to do only one thing for me. Make me wise.
Amen.
Say it to yourself. Say age.
Age
is allowed to do only one thing.
For me.
Make me wise. Say,
age is not a disease.
Say, the older I get,
the wiser I become.
The more I remember. Say,
my strength
is maintained in the vigor of youth
all the days of my life
in the name of Jesus.
Because life is working in me.
And you are not the first. We have testimonies full ground. Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not become dim, and his strength did not abate. At the age of 85, Caleb went to Joshua and said, listen, 45 years ago, we had a discussion. Now, I just noticed that as my strength was that time, so it is today. For going out, all right, for going to war. Therefore, give me the marching order. Let me go and take that which Moses promised to me. You know, yesterday my mother told me something. You know, yesterday my mother turned 75, all right? And, you know, she's in Enugu visiting us, all right? So we had a small birthday party for her in the evening in the house. The earlier in the day, we went somewhere and we're in the car. Was it earlier in the day or the day before that? And now we're talking. We're not saying that my mother doesn't drive. I mean, she used to drive those days. Like I tell my wife that one day she just woke up and decided she's not driving again. So she doesn't drive. She used to drive when we were children. And then back home, they don't have taxis like this. You either go by bus or you take a bike. and I had warned her against biking. That I said, it's not the will of God. She wouldn't hear. So I said, and they don't have keke, you know, keke napep. They don't have. So either you take a bus or you take a bike. She now said that, no, that's, of course. A lot of times, getting a bus from where she is to where she's going is not. So like, a lot of times my sister will drop her in church and then she will walk back home. I said, what did you say? She said, yes, I just walk back home. In my mind, all right, that's not bad. But my mind was rejoicing, praise the Lord. I'm talking 3 kilometers. No, it's not like just walk down. I mean, I'm calculating it's at least 3 kilometers. 75 said, no, I'll just drop her to church. When she's through, she just look. I said, I beg, let me just take a stroll back home. And she walked back home. I said, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. In fact, keep walking. Keep walking. She didn't know I was rejoicing inside me. Yes, you should walk back home. I mean, why not? I was saying, no, you know, at my age, I can't walk. No, why shouldn't you? I mean, my wife was there one day. The proprietress of the school I attended, the nursery school I attended, not university I attended, nursery school. One day, my wife and I went to visit her. That was about 2 years ago. That woman could not be, I mean, her age now, she's much older than my mother. So she's probably in her, you know, late 80s, that about. I met her there. Cleaning her house, you know, cleaning, dusting everywhere. And say, okay, thank you, how are you? You have come, oh, my dear, you know. You are a very elderly person with grit. She was there cleaning the house. I said, nobody else around? Oh, he said, no, she's all alone. So I got back home. I asked my mother, said she's living alone. Why is the woman living alone? He said, well, her children said she should come over. Of course, you can imagine the children are all over. Now, it's grandchildren we're talking about now. The woman said, no, she likes her house. She's not going anywhere. So she cleans her house, but my mother was telling me yesterday that sometimes she'll have food prepared to go, for them to go and greet. And that the woman just, the children, they don't talk tired, but you know, at that age, they know they hear again. The woman is, that is, why I tell the story is that, my wife remembers when she was cleaning the house all by herself. Listen, old age is not a disease. Oh, don't, you see, it's when you start giving excuses that this thing will not stay with you. Say, you know, at my age, you know, you have back problem, back pain. You say, you know, it's my age. There are things you don't hear me say. I will react to backache the way a young person will react. Why is my back aching? Maybe I slept wrongly. I will get up and stretch it. If after 2 days you don't go out, I'll apply the proper treatment, the word of God. In the name of Jesus, back, hear ye the word of God. But you know, when you make an excuse for it, to just stay, excuses for Satan. He said, you know, I'm already approaching 50-something, so as at my age, you know, your back starts aching. Backache will say, yes, thank you, sir. I actually like you. You know, it's people like you I like. You are very reasonable. You are reasonable. You are very reasonable. And he stays there. And he starts asking his friends, this guy is nice, come. So when you see one trouble passing one day, where are you going? They cast you out of the eye. This guy is a nice guy. Come, jump into his eyes. And the spirit will jump into the eyes. And they say, what's happening? My eyes been paining for some day. I don't even see very clearly. They say, they go and see one doctor who will tell you the general satanic lie is your age. And they say, yes, it's true. You know, that was how my back started then. And they were arguing with me. I told them it's age. And it's just there. We are managing ourselves. And they say, okay. So the eye stays. Say, man, when they go back home, they are talking to each other. The spirit in the back and the one in the eye say, over how far? I say, man, this place is comfortable. This man doesn't trouble anybody. He understands it's his age. He said, let's make him forget a few things. So there was a spirit of dementia passing one day. Oh boy, did they cast you? I said, now, so this guy, where are they hibernate inside? Go crusade. One hot man of God just drive me, come on. They almost came that day. So what do we do? He said, come on, stay here. He's a nice guy. He has space. Then you come and meet the man one day. He said, where do you keep your shoes? My shoes, they are at the door. He guessed they didn't see the shoes. Now his grandson took the shoes in the typical childish behavior. I thought I kept it here. You know, I'm beginning to forget. He now finds the shoe beside his bed. Oh, I must have removed it when I entered the room last night. And I forgot. You know, my age. I'm beginning to forget things. The spirit of dementia will say, you guys were right. This guy is nice. It's my age. I'm, you know, Look, who has never forgotten something? The most forgetful human beings are children. You know, I mean, You tell the child, please go up here. In fact, I have to shout to my children. Look, I said, go straight to the room. Because they are going. If Tom and Jerry does something on the road, the distraction makes them forget instantly. And I said, what did you say? They can't remember again. Why? Tom and Jerry. But they don't believe it's their age. And you don't think it's their age. So you don't make the excuse for them that they are too old. Now that's why they are forgetting. So if I'm 60 and I forget, too bad. I just forgot. Anybody can forget. Even the man who Joseph helped, he forgot. So what's the big deal? In the appropriate time, he remembered. Yes. I will accept that age is making me forget. No. If you accept it, it is to you according to what? Your faith. So the spirit will sit down there and say, turn to the guy in the eye. Oh boy, you guys are enjoying, no? Turn to the one in the back. The guy in the back is now, let me stay here. It is not good for spirit to be alone. Call another spirit. The second part, by the time the man is 70, he can't see. His back is stiff. He has forgotten everybody. Then the doctors will give him a very nice name. He has Alzheimer's disease. I always knew it. I have been forgetting for the last 15 years. It's called cooperating with Satan. Any friend of Satan in the house? No, speak for yourself now. That is just, if you are not a friend of Satan, just leave the matter. Who believes the word of God? Is there a believer in the house?
Yes.
If you are a believer, say amen.
Amen.
This is what the word of God says about age. Age is not a disease.
Amen.
The righteous one will be old, and the Bible says will be full of sap. Osteoporosis is not a problem of age. It's a problem of agreeing with Satan. In Jesus' name, your bones will not become weak with age.
Amen.
You are not more predisposed to forgetting because of age.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I have my reasons. It's the word of God. He said, no matter how old you are, you will be full of sap.
Amen.
The testimony of Moses will be your own.
Amen.
You will be 120 years old. Your eyes will not become dim. And you will not become weak.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I told you I saw a man running marathon. And he was about 80 years of age. Can't remember the exact age now. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's declare it again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Age is only allowed to do one thing for me.
It makes me wise.
It makes me wise. Declare it.
It's not a disease.
Therefore, it will not make me sick. Say it will not make my eyes dim. In the name of Jesus Christ. My bones will not become weak. Say it in my life.
In my
body.
In my
system.
Life is walking.
Say it again. Life is walking. The Spirit of Christ is walking.
That same Spirit.
Says that same Spirit.
That raised Jesus from the dead.
Is walking in me. Say life is walking.
Life is walking.
Every virus is losing.
Every virus is losing.
Because I'm indeed a winner.
Ebola virus has lost.
Flu has lost.
Say it,
HIV has lost.
No matter the name of the virus,
life has overcome it.
And that life is in me.
Life is walking in me.
Say it again.
Life is walking in me.
It's making myself strong.
Able to heal itself.
Able to overcome every stress.
Say my blood pressure.
In it.
Life is walking.
Life is walking.
Say I cast my cares.
Upon the Lord.
Because he cares for me.
Therefore,
my blood pressure will not rise.
It will remain normal
all the days of my life.
Because God loves me,
therefore he has taken away my cares.
And also because in me,
life is working.
It's working in my heart.
My heart is not becoming weak
because of age.
My kidneys.
In them,
life is walking.
In my liver,
life is walking.
In my stomach,
life is walking.
In my lungs,
life is walking.
In my brain,
life is walking.
In my muscles,
life is walking.
In my teeth,
life is walking.
In every part of my body, Life is working.
Just give the Lord thanks. That's good. Just thank Him. Just thank Him your own way. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just thank Him, because life is working in you. Life is working in you. All the diseases of life is a manifestation of death when it's working. But in us as believers in Christ Jesus, life is working. Oh, we should add this one to it. In your business, life is working. Let me say it again. In your business, life is working.
Amen.
In your finances, life is working.
Amen.
In your family, life is working.
Amen.
Between you and your children, life is working.
Amen.
Between you and your wife, life is working.
Amen.
In your business, life is working.
Amen.
In all that you do, life is working.
Amen.
That is why your business may be small now. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It will grow gradually. Then one day it will jump,
Amen.
And it will continue to jump.
Amen.
Because in it, life is working.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every negative challenge, all right? None of them, all of them, there's not one that can prove that life is not working.
Amen.
You may experience a slowdown, don't worry, life is still working.
Amen.
Life will overcome it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, life will overcome it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it one more time, life will overcome it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say with your own man, say, in my business,
life is working.
Say it in my finances,
life is working.
In my career,
life is working.
Let me tell you something about Christianity. This is what grace is. Grace is that God will open doors and you will step into it.
Amen.
Human beings, we try to struggle by ourselves to crack the doors open. But that's not how it is with Christianity. Christianity, we learn to do good. We learn to be faithful. We learn to do what is right. For example, if you're a technical person, maybe just as an example now, you're an artist, maybe you're a painter, just to give us an example. You are not going, when you go to work, it is so that you become better. That's the primary thing. Money comes by prayer. What did I say?
Money comes by prayer.
Yes. You cannot give the name of God to a vain thing. Remember we discussed on Saturday. The job is not the source of money. God is the source of money. He only uses that job as the means by which He passes it through. So when you go there, what you do is to fine-tune the way you work. Remember what we said? That a man said, I was listening to a man preaching. Just summarize many things we have taught before. He said, the greatest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. One of the things you become as you walk in life is become skilled. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
if you are still at the same level in your work as you were, all right, 8 years ago, even if they paid you 10 billion naira since, you have not prospered much. The sign that you are doing well is not that you have made money. The sign that you are doing well is that you are better in what you are doing than you used to be 8 years ago. That's the sign that you are doing well. The greatest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. That's why we walk. That's why we walk. We become better every day. We become more faithful. We become more trustworthy. We become more skilled. Then in due season. What did I say?
In due season.
What did I say?
In due season.
In due season, God takes that thing that you have become and pours His grace upon it. Listen, even though you appear like you are stagnated now financially, don't worry. What did I say?
Don't worry.
Only worry, in quotes, be concerned. If you notice that, oh boy, 5 years ago, the kind of complaints my customers are giving, they are still giving it today. Then you know you need prayer. Now when you go for fasting and deliverance, well, you know what I'm saying, deliverance, real deliverance. It's not your enemies, it's you. People blame enemies too much. If your skill has not improved in the last 5 years, you have a problem. You just need to solve it. If your money has improved, don't rejoice. The Bible says when money increases, don't set your mind on it. What you should be concerned about, has my skill improved? People should see you that have not seen you in 5 years. They say, oh boy, you have changed. Oh girl, you mean you did this job? They look at you and say, are you serious? Say, yes, not me. You did this? I knew you 5 years ago. Even if you are, even financially, you are less than five. Don't worry, don't worry. Just know you have prospered. Let me say it again. The greatest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. Even though financially it appears like you have not increased much, don't worry. Because actually life is what?
Working.
Life is what?
Working.
Life is working. Life is working. Declare it again. Say, in my finances,
in my finances,
life is working.
Life is working.
In my business,
in my business,
life is working.
Life is working.
In my skill,
in my skill,
life is working.
Life is working.
In the name of Jesus
in
Christ.
The name of Jesus.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Let's take our seats. Let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, we have been talking about how to bless your descendants, how to bless your children, how to lay up a blessing for your offspring. We have been talking about that. We have said many things. Don't ever forget it. One, we explained that make sure that the name that they bear, as you are giving them names, make sure that it's prophetic. That is, when you are speaking the name, you are declaring something over their lives. It's very, very good. Don't just name your child after your grandfather or your grandmother. You can give one of those accessory names. You know what they call accessory names? Have you ever been to a naming ceremony where it is Yoruba people that are doing it? The child has like 20 names. Yes, I call most of them accessory names. Because the grandmother will send the name. Check the name, even if it's an accessory name. It must not be negative. You understand? Uh-huh. So you can take a lot of accessory names, no problem. But the core courses name, you understand my point? The mandatory names must be something you choose by yourself with prayer. Alright? And make sure it's prophetic. We also explain the fact that more importantly, that more important than storing up money and investment and houses and stuff like that for your children is to sustain them with a blessing. I said the blessing of God is not just something that comes from God. That is what it is primarily. But the blessing of God is a spiritual substance that God puts in the mouth of covenant parents. And that was why Isaac, when he was going to bless, he blessed Jacob, he said to Esau, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. And last time when we were praying, please make sure you get the message if you're not here. I explained that this is what's going to happen to your children if you do what is right, all right? You sustain them. Grain refers to basic necessities and new wine describes luxuries. And none of them will be lacking in the lives of your children. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Without giving Jacob anything, he said to Esau, I have sustained him with grain. I have sustained him with new wine. I've already given him, he said to him, his relatives as his servants. And he will be Lord over all of them. And he did this by talking. He did this by saying something. And I emphasize to us, that's what's most important in the lives of our children. We must do that as a habit. You know, this morning my children had a nice time. I just felt like playing with them. I said, okay, everybody, let's come and do our aerobics. So everybody was running up and down. And my mother was looking at what is going on here. No, actually, she was downstairs. She was hearing, hearing grunting from upstairs. After a while, she couldn't take it anymore. She now climbed up like, what is going on? Only to find me and the children, you understand? Doing, okay, bend over 5 times, we bend. You know, of course, the children were getting excited. We spent a lot of time, everybody was sweating. And when we're through, and I said, yeah, that's good. I said, the Bible says that physical exercise has some profit.
Yeah.
I said, now let's go into spiritual exercise. So everybody started jogging around, saying, in Jesus' name, I'm a righteous person. In Jesus' name, I'm above alone. I'm not beneath. We did that for a long time. We're going around in circles. In the name of Jesus. When we finished that, everybody got tired. We now sat down and said, okay, now come one by one and collect the blessing for today. And they lined up one by one from the smallest. In fact, somebody said, hey, you go first. That is smallest. You go, and now we No, not a joke. They are used to it. They are used to it. Prophesy over the area. Next, I give each one of next. When we finish, I say, wow, it's been a wonderful morning. Everybody agreed. You understand my point? It's been a wonderful morning. And that's what you're supposed to do. Make it a habit, all right? You know, whichever way, you know, your child comes to you. I do that. These are things that the Lord helped me to understand long ago, before I had any one of them. I understood it long ago. You come to me in the morning, had a good morning, you know, like my daughter is very good with it. She'll just collapse on you, you know, that kind of thing. And I hug you and I tell you a few things. I tell you a few things. No? And I do it all the time. It is well with you. That's the least you will get from me. It is well with you. God will bless you. He will sustain you. He will raise you. That's what Isaac said to Esau concerning Jacob. He said, I have sustained him with grain. I have sustained him with new wine. I have made him a master over everybody around him. I have given him his relatives. The people around as servants. I gave them to him. Can you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, he didn't physically give him anything. Let's never forget that. I think some of the most important things, all right, that we can do for our children. People make a mistake in thinking that, hey, I'm going to have a child abroad. When I have a child abroad, you have American passport. It doesn't mean anything. Are you getting my point? Many people with American passports and European passports are working for people with Ajegunle passport. It doesn't mean anything. I say all the time, nobody knows the passport that Dangote has. We know it's in Nigeria. All countries are willing to dash in citizenship. Okay, are you interested? He'll give you. Just come and build two refineries. The guy is going around everywhere, building cement factories all over the place. Any passport he needs now, just to ask, he will find one clause in the constitution that allows him to collect it. May you prosper in life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May God bless you so that your presence will be desirable.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May that spiritual substance in you make you somebody that people want to associate with.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we need, the spiritual substance, spiritual blessing. Your children, that's what they need, all right? So that's what I've been talking about. Let me see what how much we can conclude it today. Now, let's just take these two scriptures as our text for today. Once again, we'll read from Genesis chapter 18. And then Psalm 112. This one we have read severally, so I'll just be quick with it. That's Genesis chapter 18. When God was about to leave and they were going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says from verse 16, then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Verse 19 says, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Note that verse 19 again. God said, I have a promise concerning Abraham, and this promise involves his descendants, his household after him. And if that promise is going to come to pass, he said Abraham must command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Those are the conditions attached to the fulfillment of the promise of God.